All right, y'all, how we doing? We're hanging in there. Second lead team, here we go. Come on, come on. Awesome, y'all. So, hey, we're going to be continuing our series. Come with me, come with me. We're going to be continuing our series entitled Comfort Zone. And so we're going to be, Jermaine last week just kind of talked about what it looks like, how Jesus has called us out of our comfort zone and into a community with a great cause. Jesus has called us out of our comfort zone and into a community with a great cause. So we're going to be talking about, man, what are the things that Jesus has called us to? Like, Jesus has called us to things that sometimes make us uncomfortable. And we're going to be talking about that. And so specifically, we're going to be talking about these community core values that Watermark has kind of identified as things that help challenge us to grow in our own spiritual walk. How do we grow, and not only grow personally, but grow in our small groups and grow in our community? And so I'm going to be walking through those six core values with you guys throughout this year. And so, as you guys know, I got married a year ago, and me and my wife, yes, come on. Wow, marriage. Marriage is great. And we got married. We took the trip, I kid you not, of a lifetime. I'm not kidding. This was the most incredible experience that I've ever been on. We went to the great state of Hawaii. Hawaii. Who all has been to Hawaii? It's unreal. It is, oh, I can't even tell you, describe you how fun it was. So we got there. We spent a week on the beach. We did this thing called snuba diving. Have you guys heard of this? It's like a mixture between scuba and snorkeling. It's real. Like they would put weights around your chest and they would sink you down into the water and you'd walk on the bottom of the ocean like Nemo. Like you were straight down there just chilling, walking around. I'm telling you, it was crazy. I was touching sea critters and like whatever you call them, turtles, and give high-fiving turtles and stuff. It was crazy. We went sailing. There's a picture of we got on there. Yeah, we went sailing. We went sailing like these different islands. There's me and my fam. And we went sailing on these different islands, and we went hiking. And we had this sushi. And stay with me here. This sushi, guys, I'm holding that sushi like it's my firstborn child, because it basically is. Like, that sushi had the very presence of God inside of it. I'm not kidding. My mouth is watering talking about it, and I think about that a lot. Anyways, we had sushi that was incredible. We had these smoothie bowls or acai bowls or whatever you call those things, acai bowls. We had smoothie bowls. We had everything. Anyways, guys, this experience is something we still talk about today. Like, this was an experience of a lifetime. Yeah, there's us on a scooter. We scooted around the island. It was amazing. Unreal. Anyways, but man, the reason I tell you about that amazing experience is to make you jealous, but also I want to tell you about experience because that's simply what it was. Like, it was simply a great experience. Like, it was simply an amazing experience. And the reason that we have a great marriage today is not because of that experience. Like, that experience did not make a great relationship. Our relationship was built on not necessarily the experience, but the in-between. It was built on the day-to-day where I spent time, and me and my wife spent time getting to know each other, where I would, you know, wake up every day and we would get to know each other, where we'd ask each other questions, where we'd be intentional with one another, where, man, we would ask how we can pray for one another. We would pray for one another. We would serve one another. We'd get to know each other. We'd laugh with each other. We'd take each other on date nights, or during work, we would text each other. I would call her, and we'd be in constant communication with one another. That's where our relationship was built. It was built on those white spaces, those day in, day out, committing to one another to get to know each other. Like, it wasn't, that experience was amazing, and it set us up for a great relationship, but it didn't make our relationship great. And I want you guys to know that. It didn't make our relationship great. It didn't make it any better. It was a fun experience, but the relationship was built in the day-to-day, day after day experience of committing to one another. I think sometimes we can get this idea of like, God is not worth pursuing if we don't have this incredible experience with him. Like, God is not worth pursuing if we don't have this incredible experience with him. And so some of you, man, you've been in this room, or you probably, it's part of your story where you you know, you went to camp and you rang the bell, or you had that amazing worship experience where you heard Reckless Love for the 500th time, and you're like, this is it. Like I saw a shooting star, the sunset's perfect over the lake, like this is the moment, this is my experience, and you might have that. Or maybe, you know, it was at D-Town, or the lights were just right, or you had that intentional conversation that sent you over the edge, and you're like, I want to go all in with Jesus. You had a great experience. And so I want you guys to write this down. You don't need an experience to experience God. You don't need an experience to experience God. Like, relationships are not just compromised with these awesome moments. They're not just comprised of these awesome moments. They're comprised of those day in and day out. And they take quality time. They take a quantity of time to build a quality relationship. And that's what we're going to be talking about, is what that looks like. And that the fact that you're sitting in lead team is amazing. The fact that you go to student section or you spend time in your small groups is great. But that can be simply activity. And activity never equals an intimacy with Jesus. Like, activity can set us up, and experiences can set us up for a better relationship, but they don't make a relationship great. Like, that takes personal commitment. It takes a devotion. And when me and my wife, because we have a strong relationship, we devote daily to one another. And that is the first principle we're going to be talking about, is what it looks like to devote daily. When I say that, you're probably like, I've heard this one before. I get it. You know, it's devote daily. I got to read my Bible. But I want you to know this, because you can't be effective if you aren't reading your Bible. You guys can't be effective leaders if you aren't reading your Bible, because if you don't lead yourself, you can't lead others. That if you can't be influential for Christ if you're not first influenced by Christ. You can't give something away that you don't already possess. Like, you have to have a relationship with Christ first, and that has to be the priority. All right, so we're going to be jumping in to John 15. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John 15. While you're headed there, I'm going to set the stage a little bit. And so John 15, 4 and verse 4 and 5, we're going to be talking about. And so the stage is set right here, where Jesus he's just finished the Passover meal, and he's talking with his disciples, and it's the night before he actually goes to the cross, and he's headed to the Garden of Gethsemane. And along the way, he wants to tell his disciples what it looks like to have a relationship with him. Like, what it looks like to be in a personal relationship with him, and how do you do that? How do you do that? And so this is what he says: abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. For apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. So Jesus is emphasizing this mutual relationship that we have, that we're the branches, he's the vine, that our opportunity, our responsibility is to simply connect. Like, we're the branch, and we connect ourselves to him. God says, man, he's going to produce in us something greater. He's going to produce in us a fruit, a spiritual fruit, that we can be effective. And if we're not abiding in the vine, then we dry spiritually. That we wander spiritually. That we walk into things that God hasn't called us to walk in. So Jesus is saying, hey, this has to be a choice. Like, you have to make a choice and a commitment to abide in me. It's not something that just happens. You don't drift into commitment. You have to abide in him by making a choice. Because Jesus is saying, I have taken up residence in your heart. I've made the commitment. I've shown my commitment. I've proved my commitment. And now your responsibility is to simply spend time with me. And notice I said simply, because this isn't a profound thing that I'm talking about. Like, we know this. It's so simple. It's so simple. Like, we just have to spend time with Jesus, and Jesus is the one who's going to do the work for us, that he's going to produce things in our life that we need to grow. But we simply just have to spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. And so that's what I want to talk about, is that your relationship with God, it's not complicated. It's just costly. I heard someone say that one time, and I thought it was extremely profound, because it really isn't complicated. It's just costly. Like, it's not complicated. We got to just attach ourselves to the vine and let Jesus work in us. But it's going to take a cost. It's going to take diligence. It's going to take It's going to take energy. It almost is going to take time where we have to sacrifice to discipline ourselves to do this. Like, it's not complicated. It's just costly. And he's saying, abide in me. Stay connected to me, and I will work for you. I will do the work for you. And so we're going to be talking about that. We're going to talk about three things of why following Jesus is worth it, especially when you devote daily to him. Three things I want you guys to take away from this time and talking about, hey, how every single day of your life, if you devote daily, that God's going to offer you guidance, that God's going to offer you hope for growth in your life, and that God is going to offer you protection from sin. So number one, if you're taking notes, here we go. God's word guides us towards the understanding we want to have. God's word guides us towards the understanding we want to have. So I think one of the main causes of stress in our lives is we sit there, and we've probably all said this prayer. I know I have. We sit there, and we're praying to God, and we're asking for direction. We're asking for clarity. Maybe it's clarity around what school should I go to, or maybe it's clarity around, you know, who or what extracurricular activities should I participate in, or what you know, what should I do this weekend, or what direction should I go? We've all said that prayer. We've all sat before God and said, God, which direction should I go? Which direction should I go? And I want you to know that when we devote daily, guys, the answers are found in the pages of the Bible. Proverbs 2:6 says, the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So does that mean when you read the Bible every single time that God's going to show you the exact answer to your question? No, I'm not saying that. But when you read the Bible, man, you're programming your minds to think the way that God thinks. Like, you're programming your minds to think what God thinks, because our minds don't naturally drift towards holiness. Our minds naturally are bent towards anxiety, insecurity, to think the way the world thinks. And we're saying, man, I'm going to read God's word because I am wanting to imitate what he has modeled for me in his word. And when we do that, we're saturating our mind and we're engaging with his word. And so when our mind engages with his word, when our heart engages with the text, then we can trust that our actions are aligned with his will. Let me say that again. When our mind engages with the text, when our heart engages with his word, then we can trust that our actions are aligned with his will. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. So God's word is illuminating the path around us. That's what it's saying. Like, I'm not saying when you go to God's word, every answer will be there right there. Like, sometimes we have to make choices on our own. But he's saying it'll illuminate the path. It'll make sure that your choices are aligned with his intention. And so one of my favorite basketball players, a second favorite basketball player of all time, is a guy named Michael Jordan. Dirk Nowitzki, number one. Let's go, Mavs. Here we go. Anyways, Michael Jordan. There's a story about Michael Jordan being one of the greatest athletes of all time. 1991, game on the line, pressure situation, sold out crowd. This guy steps up to the free throw line, dribbles the basketball. There's this guy next to him. I don't remember his name, but he's talking trash to Michael. And MJ's like, I'm going to prove this guy wrong. And so what he does, he dribbles. He reaches up to shoot the basketball, and he closes his eyes. We have a picture of this right here. So he, game on the line, this man straight closes his eyes to shoot the basketball. He closes his eyes to shoot the basketball. And he drains this shot. He makes the shot. And he walks back and he just stares at the guy walking back. Like, he knew exactly what to do in the moment. The reason why he could do that, you're probably thinking, that's stupid. Why would he do that? But the reason why he could do that is because he spent hours and hours training his mind, training his body, training his arms to know exactly the position to shoot, exactly the amount of distance he needed to shoot the basketball, exactly how many feet high the basketball hoop was in order to make the hoop. Like, he knew exactly what to do in that moment because he had trained for it. And when the pressure was on, he couldn't see, and he made the shot. And so, guys, I want you to take away that mentality is as when you read God's word, man, you're training your mind, you're programming your mind to think the way that God thinks. And when you do that, man, your instincts kick in. And then making decisions the way God thinks is just second nature at that point. Even when you don't know where to go, even when you're blind at times and it feels like that, You can trust that your actions are aligned with his will because you've been trained by his word. You can trust that your actions are aligned with his will because you've been trained by his word. So the application there, I want you guys to take away and write this down. So I want you to read the Bible like you're going to teach the Bible. Read the Bible like you're going to teach the Bible. I heard someone tell me this one time, and it really changed just how I read God's word. Because I knew that I couldn't just go to God's word and read it, and my goal wasn't just to get through the Bible. Man, I was like, I know that I have to have an answer. I know that I want to be able to explain it, not just to myself, but to others. That I can't just read it and close it and move on. That it trained my mind to know what I was reading. And know what I was doing, and to read it, and to explore the Bible, because I knew I couldn't just get through the Bible. I wanted the Bible to get through me. And so when you think about that, I want you guys to explore Scripture and say, man, I'm going to read it like I'm going to teach it. I'm going to read it like I'm going to teach it. So once you begin to read it, you'll begin to grow. So this leads me to my second point, taking notes. Number two, God's Word grows us into the person we were created to be. God's word grows us into the person we're created to be. So all of you have in this room, the reason you're sitting on these really uncomfortable, crazy creeks, and the reason you're sacrificing your time to be here, and the reason that you could be doing 1,000 other things right now, but the reason you're sitting here is because you said, man, I've identified there's something in my life that I feel like I can grow in. Like there's something in my life that I feel like I can take ground in, spiritual ground in. I want to get better. There's something in my life that I feel like can change. And we'll all feel like that at times. Since we're on earth, we'll feel like that. But there's always something better that we can grow in and adapt in and be more of who God wants us to be. And I want you guys to know that you don't know much how much better you can have it unless you read God's word. But it shows you how to grow. It gives you a roadmap, an owner's manual for how you can grow and how you can adapt and be the person that God has designed us all to be. And so my wife and I recently had our firstborn son. His name's Harvey Shepherd Mankin. There he is. He's a stud. We made that. That's amazing. Like, that's incredible. Oh, my gosh. Well, God made it, but still... That's insane. That's probably, yeah. Anyways, he's a month old. He is a stud. We love him so much. He's actually in the back right now. If you guys want to see him, you can say hi. Anyways, so this is Harvey. Yeah, all the girls are going to start going rushing over there. Just wash your hands, people. Anyways, this is Harvey. And one of the things that we've realized, this baby is incredible. He's so cute. One of the things we've realized that every 2 to 3 hours, this baby, his voice, I kid you not, reaches just a new octave that I've never even like knew existed. Like Shane and Shane, Psalm 34, like it's above that. This thing goes high. And it's because he's crying out because he's so hungry that we have to feed him every 2 to 3 hours because he's completely dependent on us. Like, he is completely dependent on us to grow. And that is how he grows, is because when he is dependent on us, when he is dependent on us for his source of life and nutrition, then he can grow. And that's how God has designed it. And 1 Peter, throw it up on the screen. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 says, like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. In other words, the word is the source of growth. The word nourishes us, guys. The word nourishes, that's what it's saying. It feeds us. It builds us up. When we feed on it, it builds us up. Like, we can't grow if we're not attached to God's word. You cannot grow if you're not attached to God's word and you're reading it every single day. It will stunt your growth if you choose to depart from God's word. It'll stunt your growth. Just like Harvey, man, he's dependent on us for growth. We have to be dependent on God for growth because he has designed it that way. So application, would you guys write this down? Application takeaway, open the Bible ready to change. Open the Bible ready to change. If the Bible is the primary tool that God has given us to produce change in our own lives. Like if we're on a steady diet of spiritual milk, as that verse was saying, then God's saying, I'm going to grow in you things that you need to endure this life. I'm going to produce in things fruit in this life if you abide in me. And so every verse in this Bible, man, continually provides direction for our lives. It continually provides growth for our lives. And I think the reason, man, we stop reading the Bible at times is when we get to a verse or we have this strong commitment, we go to church camp and then we come back and we have this strong commitment and then we spend time in God's word for 3 days and then we get to it and we realize, man, I'm not changing. This isn't affecting me. I think we get to that point because we realize, man, we want the instant change. We need to know, man, God's word doesn't always change us instantly. It changes us progressively over time. Just like a relationship grows over time, just like a relationship with God needs to develop. And so the Bible is going to do its best work when you spend time with it and you sit before God's word and you're asking God things and you're reading his word and you're sitting in his text and it's in quiet submission to his word that it works on our hearts slowly, slowly. It trains us over time to where we understand what to do when the pressure's on, when we're not sure why we're growing. We need to understand that it's progressive. It takes time. Don't go to the Bible and be discouraged if you don't always leave with some profound statement to share with somebody, because the Bible is still working on your heart because it's active. So when we grow spiritually, we also experience freedom from sin. We grow spiritually, we also experience freedom from sin. And so that's my third point, is what God's word does. God's word guards us from the places we would go. God's word guards us from the places we would go. So, man, we need to know that in our life, man, we're in danger. We're in danger. When you guys wake up every morning, you put your feet on the ground, you guys are in danger. Like, the temptation is coming. The enemy is coming. He knows how to attack. He knows where your blind spots are. And God's word has given us a guide. He's given us this thing, and he said, hey, I want you to put this on your mind, because when it's present in your mind, you have a tool to fight the enemy. Like, this is not a defensive weapon. It's an offensive weapon that's not meant to stay on the shelf. It's meant to be a sword in our hands that we have to apply to situations when we're being tempted. I love in Matthew 4, you see Jesus. He just got baptized. He starts his ministry. John the Baptist baptizes him. He heads in the wilderness. And right there, immediately, when he's hungry, when he's thirsty, when he's weak, the enemy knows exactly what to do. He's like, I'm going to tempt Jesus. And I love, you see, three times Jesus responds with the sword of truth. And he says, the sword of the Spirit. And he says, it is written. He says, it is written. I'm not going to throw it on the screen, but you guys need to go read Matthew 4 as a picture of what to do when you're being tempted. Because Jesus responds knowing, hey, the only effective tool that I have to fight this off is God's word and what he's given to me. And so he responds with God's word. He said the word is waiting to transform us. We just have to simply use it. We simply have to take advantage of the opportunity we have. Psalms 119:11 says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might sin against you. Psalms 119:11. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might sin against you. Remember the other day I was experiencing, man, I was just wanting, saw myself just wanting the approval of some other people. And I got to that point, and I saw my mind running there, and I immediately just grabbed onto Psalm 86:11, which it says, teach me to know your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. And I was just praying that prayer because I knew that the enemy would continue to spin those things in my mind if I didn't combat it with truth. If I didn't use the weapon, if I didn't use this offensive weapon, and I knew I didn't want to be caught unaware. Because the easiest way to be taken out in a battle, the easiest way is to realize you are not in one. That's the easiest way. And I had to realize when I was in high school, is that, man, I'm in a battle, and you guys are in a battle. And if you do not have God's word daily on your mind and in your heart, then the enemy is coming in and he knows how to attack. And you have to use God's word, the sword of the Spirit, as an offensive weapon. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting
between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So this word, it is cutting things from our life that aren't conformed to the image of Christ. When we sit before it, it is removing things and identifying things and exposing things in our heart that aren't aligned with God's will and God's intention. So the application I want you guys to know is that I want you to learn to weaponize your Bible. Weaponize your Bible. Use it as a weapon. It's not something to sit on your shelf. It's not something to collect dust, or it's not something just to go to when you feel like it. It's a weapon to train yourself to utilize and to be transformed by it. I love John Piper. He talks about that we should all have an arsenal of scripture in our mind that we can go to, like our five scriptures that we know, man, immediately, here's what I'm prone to. Man, I'm gonna push truth in front of it. Here's what I feel like I can believe. Man, I'm gonna expose that with truth. You have to have an arsenal of truth. You have to have a weaponry in order to attack the enemy because he's coming for you. And so I want you guys to know my goal in those 3 points weren't to like convince you guys to read the Bible. Man, I just wanted to present to you the facts. I read this the other day as I'll close and then we'll get out of here. And I thought it was just really compelling with where I'm going, but it just says, in a study, the Center for Bible Engagement surveyed more than 4,000 people. They surveyed more than 4,000 people. So this is not like your Instagram poll. This is not your Facebook poll. This is like a legit poll. 400,000 people they surveyed. And they asked them the difference between the people who owned a Bible and read it, the people versus the people who didn't. They asked people, hey, what's the difference between the person who owned the Bible and read it versus the person who didn't? So they asked this. They said someone who engages the Bible 4 or more times a week. So this is just 4 times a week. They were 228% more likely to share their faith with others. 407% more likely to memorize scripture. 60% times less likely to feel spiritually stagnant. 59% less likely to view pornography. Like these, I looked at this and I was like, this is just 4 times a week. This isn't daily devotion. This is simply 4 times a week. Imagine if they were spending that 7 days a week. Imagine the freedom that they would experience, and you guys would experience if you guys spend daily devotion to Jesus, man, you'd experience guidance, as we talked about. You'd experience growth in your own life, that you wouldn't be stunned. You wouldn't be sitting there feeling stagnant. But you would grow spiritually, and then you would feel protection from sin and know how to weaponize your Bible in order to attack and beat back the lies of the enemy. Those are the 3 things that you can experience, and you can experience freedom. So I don't want to convince you guys here. I just want to present to you the facts and propose a better way. Propose a better way, because the point was just to show you, man, consistent Bible intake changes the way we live. Consistent Bible intake changes the way we live. When we have a healthy diet of spiritual intake, God will change our heart. And we do what Jesus says, it works. It works. Awesome. We good? All right, I'm going to pray. We're going to get out of here. I want you guys, we got 5 questions. I want you guys to break into your groups and talk about what does daily devotion in your own life look like and how you can start applying these new strategies to your life. So I'm going to pray real quick and we're going to get out of here. Lord, thank you that you're a God who's given us a guide in order to live, and that you said, hey, I want you to live according to my word, that I want you to store up your word in my heart so we might not sin against you, Lord. I pray that these students would store your word up in their heart, that they would see your word as a weapon to fight back the lies of the enemy. And they would use it, and they would expose the lies and face it with truth, and they would go out and teach others also. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Awesome. You're dismissed.